So we are now ready to get into the meat and potatoes of Borer a little bit after a week and a half, and to discuss the three criteria of Borer, the Ochel Mitoch Psalas, the Miyad and Biyad. So today let's talk about the idea of a chiluk between Ochel Mitoch Psalas and Psalas Mitoch Ochel, and maybe elaborate a little bit on the concept of Derech Achila, the way it comes up in Rishonim. So we've spoken about the definition of Tarovas both in terms of proximity and in terms of defining what's called Ochel, what's called Psalas. But let's assume for a moment you have a situation of Borer. So you have to figure out, is there a way to do it? Is there a permissible way to actually do Borer? Are there any ways to avoid the Isser of Borer? So the Gemara in Ayin Dalet mentions Ochel Mitoch Psalas as a factor in Borer. So if we take Ochel Mitoch Psalas as opposed to Psalas Mitoch Ochel, as we've been saying all along, that seems to make a world of difference. Now, the Rishonim struggle with why. Why does that make any difference? Whether you're taking Ochel Mitoch Psalas or Psalas Mitoch Ochel, what is it about the difference between taking one from the other or the other from the one that will take something that's a Melacha D'Oraisa and make it mutter, or take something that would have been mutter and turn it into a Melacha D'Oraisa? And whatever the concept behind Ochel Mitoch Psalas is, and with any of these concepts, particularly this one to start with, you always have to ask yourself, is this a Borer concept? Or is this a concept in all of Hilchos Shabbos? And it's just the way we formulate it when we talk about Borer is Ochel Mitoch Psalas. But it's really not just a Borer concept, it's an application of a much larger concept, right? That's the basic Chakira. So Tosos on Davayim Dalet Amud Aleph points out, Borer v'ochel ochel mitoch psalas, says Tosos, mashma, the ochel mitoch psalas ain derech breira bekach. And it sounds that ochel mitoch psalas is simply not the derech breira. Tosos says, problem is that there's a Gemara later on Shabbos, Perek Tolin, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, Amrinon, Ma Darko Shol Borer, Borer Ochel Mitoch Psalas. The Gemara, when it's trying to figure out the din of Mishamer, Mishum, my Masrin Bey, what Hasra do you give? Is it the Hasra Mishum Borer or not? Or is it the Merakit or something else? So the Gemara says, oh, just like Borer, a defining feature of Borer is that Borer is Ochel Mitoch Psalas. So Frank tells us, wait a second. Our Gemara is telling us that Ochel Mitoch Psalas is not Borer, that it's not a problem of Borer when you do Ochel Mitoch Psalas. Gemara Kuf Lamed Ches says Ochel Mitoch Psalas is the very definition of Borer, that's how you define Borer, that it's Ochel Mitoch Psalas. So which is it? So Tosos, just the context over there is the Gemara trying to figure out when you strain the liquid, Meshamer, if you're straining a liquid, which Malacha do you violate? Lamai Nafkamina, which Malacha you violate? Nafkamina is for Hasra'a. That if you're going, meaning, if either way you know it's a malacha, so nafkamina is mishamay masrin bay. You know, what if you're going to give the person a story, you can't do that because that is, you know, you have to be able to say what that is. Or maybe you don't have to be able to say, but you cannot, you at least cannot misidentify what it is. Meaning, if you told someone, you can't be straining that liquid, that's bishul. He'll look at you like, no, it's not. And then he'll just do it, because that's ridiculous. It's not bishul at all. And therefore, it's an invalid hasra'a. So you have to make sure you get the right av malacha when you're giving the hasra'a. Because you're going to say, no, you can't do that. That's borer. And he's like, this isn't borer. It's merakid. You know, if it's anything, it would be merakid. If you think that borer is the issue, so that wouldn't be a valid hasra'a. So it's important to know which malacha you're violating. And the Gemara says, no, when you're mesham, when you strain the liquid, it's chayiv mishum borer. Why is it chayiv mishum borer? Because it shares so many qualities with borer. That just like borer is ochel mitoch psalas, so too, when you strain the liquid, you're getting the ochel mitoch psalas. So Tosfos asks the kasha, I don't understand. On Ayin Dalet Ochel Mitoch Psalas is not the Derech Breira, it's not considered Borer. Yet on Kuf Lamed Ches, all of a sudden Ochel Mitoch Psalas is Borer. So Tosfos suggests that it all depends on the situation. It depends on the relative quantities of Ochel and Psalas. In a situation where you have, in our Gemara, where on Ayin Dalet there's a lot more Ochel than Psalas, so the derech is to be borer the psalas, to pull out the psalas. And therefore, when you take the ochel mitoch psalas, you're doing good. You're doing something that you're allowed to do. Because the more normal thing to do would be to remove that which is the lesser quantity of the two items. On the flip side, the Gemara and Kuf Lamed Ches is a case, must be a case, where there's a lot more psalas than ochel. So the derech would be to be borer the yochel from the psolus, because you want to take out that which is less. That minimizes the tircha. It also says that it's pashut, that when you do mishamer to make wine, when you're most of the grape is not the wine. Most of what you're filtering through is most of what you're straining is the psolus. So since the majority of it is the psolus, to do ochel mitoch psolus would be the derech of borer, and therefore would be a violation of borer. To do psolus mitoch ochel, in that case, when the majority is psolus, would not be the derech of borer. So essentially, the way the Ritva spells it out a little bit more clearly, we assume that people will do what's easiest. And generally, what's easiest is to remove that which is the smaller quantity from that which is the larger quantity. So since we assume people are going to do what's easiest, the derech borer is to do that which is the smaller, to remove that which is smaller quantity. So according to Tosos, in order to know whether ochel mitoch psolos is a problem or not, you have to look at the whole situation. In order to do borer in a mutter way, you have to find out what's conventional and do the opposite. And then it's going to be mutter. Whatever the conventional way to sort this out is going to be, then you have to do the opposite. That would seem to be not just a borer din, that would seem to be an application of a larger din, of that it's not darko bekach, that you're doing something shelo kederach, you're doing something in a way that's mashunadik. So when it's done shelo kederach, then it's not going to be a full malacha. That's how Tosa seems to be assuming. By focusing on quantity and not focusing on anything that's really borer related, what he's focused on is what's normal, so do it abnormally. And when you do a malacha abnormally, so then it's not a malacha. So that's what Tosas writes. The Ramban says a lot differently. The Ramban writes, V'lav kushi, he asked Tosas kashi. He says, not a kasha. The ha'amron sha'af b'borer ochel mitoch psolas mishkachas chiyuva b'nafu kvara. Basanami hachikamar. Avi asube mishum borer hasra'a. Di'ika borer didamila kagon ochel mitoch psolas. Says the Ramban. The chiluk that Tosas made is not correct. He quotes that also and he rejects it, because the kasha of Tosas wasn't really a kasha to begin with, says the Ramban. What's the Tosas asking? A stira between the two Gemaras? That a nayin dalid, ochel mitoch psolos is not the normal way to do baron, is therefore mutter, and on kufla mechas it is the normal way to do baron, is therefore asr? He said, no, it's not what the Gemara kufla mechas said. All the Gemara kufla mechas was saying was that even if you gave hasra'a, when someone was doing meshamer, and you gave hasra'a that's borer, that would be a valid hasra'a. Because that very often is borer. Even though the person may be taking ochel mitoch psolos, so on that level, as far as, you have to check off three boxes in order to make sure that it's not a violation of borer. You have to check off the box that it's ochel mitoch psolos, you have to check off the box that it's miyad, and you have to check off the box that it's biyah. When a person is straining wine, it's not biyad. You're using a kli. So the Gemara's focus over there was not whether it's ochel mitoch psolos mitoch ochel. The Gemara's focus over there was which melacha is he in danger of violating when he strains a liquid. So the Gemara says, oh, he's in danger of violating borer. Why is that fair to say? And ma borer, you're separating out ochel psolos. It's not about that the ochel is coming from the psolos, and that's the problem. But it's saying ma borer, just like when you take ochel from psolos, that could be a borer problem. And in that case, it is a borer problem, because you're sorting out ochel from psolos, and you're doing it bikli and not biyad. So that's what it means. But of course, ochel mitoch psolos is going to be a reason to be makil, not a reason to be makmir. The Gemara wasn't explaining ochel mitoch psolos as a reason to be chayav. It was just describing what you're doing, according to the Ramban. The din of ochel mitoch psolos apparently is not just about what's a bigger tircha and a lesser tircha. Quantities are irrelevant. How much ochel, how much psolos, l'chor, it's totally irrelevant. Ochel mitoch psolos is always going to be mutter, psolos mitoch ochel is always going to be asr. When I say always going to be mutter, I mean if you also have miyad biyah. Right? That ochel mitoch psolos is always a reason to go l'kula. Psolos mitoch ochel is always a reason to assume l'chumra. And that seems like that ochel mitoch psolos is mutter according to Ramban, because it's something about borer. And the Ramban says something about, you know why that's okay? Because behetera ka'asik. that when you're pulling out the ochel from the psoles, you're behetera ka'asik. You're involved in that which is heter, in that which is mutter. Not so clear what that means, but in the Chidush Aran, he elaborates on what the Ramban means by that. Behetera ka'asik. Chidush Aran, there's a lot of controversy which Chidush Aran on Shabbos is actually written by the Ran. The classic Chidush Aran on Shabbos, I think, is mostly accepted, was not written by the Ran, whether it be the Ritva or somebody else. But whoever wrote it, it's the book is called Chidush Aran, whether it's actually Chidush Aran or not. But it's certainly a Rishon. So it's not like some guy nowadays, just decided to write a sefer called Chidush Aran. It always bothered me that Rav David Cohen's Svarim are called the Yaivitz. Like there was a Yaivitz, a couple hundred years ago. I don't know. But I guess no one's confusing them. What? I guess Chamud Daniel. Rabbi Willick told us when we were learning Nida that when the Badei Ashulchan first came out, there was another sefer that came out at the same time that had the same chap to write a Mishnah Berurah on Yerideya. Same chap as the Badei Ashulchan. There was only one difference. Badei Ashulchan called the sefer Badei Ashulchan. Instead of calling it Shar Tziyun, he called it Tziyunim. I forgot what he calls the Bir Alacha. What does he call the Bir Alacha? Birim, right. So he called the Birim. The other guy called his sefer Mishnah Berurah, and he called the Bir Alacha, and he called the Shar Tziyun, and he was immediately put into Cherem, and never saw the light of day. You think you're writing a Mishnah Berurah? You're not the Chafetz Chaim, you can't write a Mishnah Berurah. So, everything is mazel, in terms of what becomes popular. Meaning, it's not just mazel, it's like that expresses a certain amount of, you're a sarobimus or whatever, of kavod for the previous svarim. So sometimes the backgrounds of the svarim, you understand why something became popular or dafka did not become popular. Right? There's a reason that no one, even though the guy who wrote Ma'ana Le'igros was knew a lot of Torah, no one, no decent person, has a seder in learning Ma'ana Le'igros. The Ravadia quotes it once in a while, there's a lot to what the people that are producing it and what their general attitudes are. Anyway, I was just talking about this last night in Smichas Chaver. If you haven't read it, you should read the introduction to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. It's just fascinating how he describes how Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa came about. He was during the war. He and his family were in an apartment for 3 years. The Nazis thought they had liquidated the whole neighborhood. And they missed their apartment, and they were there, his family, and they were afraid to look out a window. They couldn't even look out a window, because if someone would see that somebody was there, they'd get killed. So talk about a quarantine. 3 years. 3 years without even going near a window, lest they get killed. And they had like one neighbor that knew that they were there and would come and bring food so that they could survive, some small amount of food. And they only had two svarim with them in the whole time that they were there for 3 years. One sefer was the Gemara Ksubas, and the other sefer was Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel. Those are the only two svarim that he had. So Rav Neuver, throughout the year, was only able to learn Gemara Ksubas and Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel. So he came out as a pretty big expert in Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel. Like there was nothing else to do. There was nothing else going on. So he knew Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel backwards and forwards. And then, like right after the war, he had to escape or something, and he had to get onto a boat on Shabbos. Under the circumstances, Pikuach Nefesh was Vaday Heter Gomer, that he was allowed to go on the boat, but he felt, after spending so much time, where his only companion was Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, where he knew Hilchos Shabbos backwards and forwards, to then get on a boat on Shabbos, he felt very guilty about it. And at that moment, when he was getting on that boat, he made a decision that he wants to write a sefer to make observing Hilchos Shabbos easy for people. And he decided to write Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So, given that backstory, is it a wonder that it became the most popular Hilchos Shabbos sefer in the last 100 years? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes does run the world, right? He makes sure that when there's a certain level of Mesiras Nefesh. So, okay, now you don't have to read it. I just told it to you. But the Chidush Aran, that's what we have. Chidush Aran on Ayin Dalel Amud Aleph elaborates a little bit on this Ramban and explains. The difference between ochel mitoch psolos and psolos mitoch ochel, he says, aval lefi sha'a le'echol li'alter, keshehu ochel mitoch psolos, eino ela derech achila. Those are the key words. Eino ela derech achila. Tebehetera Asik. And then he throws in the words that Ramban used, Tebehetera Asik, meaning what the Ramban meant when he said, Behetera Asik, is that what you are doing is called Derech Achila and not Derech Borer. So when you're taking Ochel Mitoch Psolos for immediate use, you're just eating. And you're always allowed to eat. It's mekubal for whatever, we have a mesora, then eating is not a malacha. When you chew food, it's not a malacha of tochein. When you eat food, it's not a malacha of borer. When you're just eating, if it's derech achila, it's going to be mutter. But psolos mitoch ochel is derech breira, not derech achila. So that's going to be asir. So essentially, it has to be mutter to eat on Shabbos, because it can't be asir to eat on Shabbos. So even though there may be many malachas that, you know, at least are questionably violated when you eat, but eating is mutter on Shabbos. So as long as you can put something in the category of derech achila, then you're going to be okay. Then you're going to be allowed to eat. So the principle of derech achila is very different than what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, oh, the whole idea of Ochel Mitoch Psolos is Psolos Mitoch Ochel has nothing to do with Borer. It's just about what's normal, what's not normal. No, says the Ramban, the whole idea of Ochel Mitoch Psolos is that when you're doing Ochel Mitoch Psolos, it's not Borer, it's Achila. Psolos Mitoch Ochel is Borer. So that idea needs to be elaborated on a little bit more. Shulchan Aruch and Siftez Zayin, Pasen's based on the Rush, that sorting the bad from the good while putting the mixture in your mouth is mutter, because that's called derech achila, and it's only a problem when you do it before eating. So you're allowed to drink water that's mixed with bugs, which everyone agrees is considered a mixture, by putting a towel on your mouth and filtering it as it goes into your mouth, right? That's this concept of derech achila, because I'm not filtering, I'm drinking. So I put the filter over my mouth and I start pouring the liquid through it, and the bugs are going to get caught in that filter. But it's all while I'm eating, it's all derech achila. Based on that halacha, Shmir Shabbos writes that you could put your mouth on a faucet of a sink and drink water directly from it in places like New York City, where you have a filter on the sink to filter out the bugs. That would be a heter to drink. Just put your mouth on the faucet, and then it's derech achila, and it's not derech breira. That would be a heter. But it is clear from the Shulchan Aruch that sorting while the food is entering your mouth, and certainly after it's already in your mouth, that's mutter. That's derech achila. So you could remove pits and bones from your mouth, even though you're removing your psolos from the ochel, because that's called derech achila. So you take a bite out of a watermelon, you start spitting out the pits. In the old days, watermelons used to have pits. Now we've solved that problem, and you have seedless watermelons. But to start spitting out the seeds is for sure going to be mutter. The question is, how far can we extend that kula? Is it only when the food is entering your mouth or already in your mouth, or even if, let's say, you sort it on the plate right before you put it in your mouth? Are you allowed to remove the bones from fish right before you eat it? Are you allowed to remove pits of a watermelon right before you eat it? Are those situations considered to be derech achila? You know, when I was growing up, when we were taught about borer, the example that we always got about borer was watermelon. That was always the example. That was a watermelon has pits, and you always want to remove the pits before you put it in your mouth, because it's not kishmak to have the pits in your mouth and have to spit them out. So that was always the example. Shaila is that true? Is that example true? I'm going to take the pits out of the watermelon to eat it right now. Is that called derech achila? So Bir Alach and Sif Dalid writes that sorting right before you put the food in your mouth is subject to machlokas rishonim. The Ramban allows removing the psolos right before eating when the mixture is in your hand, because that's also called derech achila. But the Bir Alach points out that it's not mashma that way from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Sifta Zayin, Paskins like the Rush against the Ramban, because the Shulchan Aruch only allows sorting while the food is entering your mouth. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch gave the example of putting a filter over your mouth and pouring it through. Why not filter it right before you put it in your mouth? Wouldn't that be a lot easier? Can you imagine trying to take a drink by putting a filter over your mouth and pouring something through that? Wouldn't it be much more efficient to pour it through the filter in your cup and then drink it from a clear drink from the cup? Elamai, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be assuming, says the Bir Alacha, that that's not okay. So removing bones from a fish before eating it, according to the Bir Alacha, and his diuk in the Shulchan Aruch, is going to be problematic. So it would seem that according to Bir Alacha, the Alacha is that you're only allowed to remove pits from fruits once you put it in your mouth. Removing the pit before eating it is going to be asr, because it's considered psolos mitoch ochel. However, in Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, Mishmur Sivkat and Pei Dalet, Paskins like the Prima Gadim, that you can remove a pit right before eating when the fruit is in your hand. And he adds, maybe even right before the meal is also mutter. So Shmir Shabbos in Gimel Chaf Ches, Shmir Shabbos says, I don't understand. It says, B'divrei Mishnah Berurah Yesh La'ayin Ketzas. The B'simin Shin Yitzas Hu Rak Melamed Zuchus Al Eila Shemotziyim Es Ha'atzamos Min Adam. Well, in our simin, he's melamed zuchus that maybe, you know, if you're removing the fish, the bones from the fish, you're a Ramban Jew, you're not a Shulchan Aruch Jew. So he's melamed zuchus that you're holding like the Shitas Ramban. Who matir almanas lechol miyad? Mishmaru is beferish matir that you're allowed to do it. And the Mishmaru is contradicting himself. And the one that Chafetz Chaim writes in Be'er Halacha, you don't rely on the Ramban. And removing the bones of the fish is really not so right. But in Shin Chaf Aleph, if he allows you to remove the bits of fruit while it's still in your head. So Shmir Shabbos explains, Yishlomar, Kmosh Chosm Shar Tzion Sham, Sivkata and Tzaditas, Be'er Halacha, Diyamar Masul Eklov, Mishum She'i Efshar Lechol, Beli Lahasir HaKlipa. That the answer is that the Sharatzin, Chabzayim explains that with regard to pits of fruits and vegetables, you can remove them before eating them because it's efshar be'inyanachim. How else are you going to be able to consume fruit without removing the pits? So removing the pit is considered derech achila. Efshar be'inyanachim. Really? Efshar be'inyanachim? So again, efshar be'inyanachim can't really mean literally efshar be'inyanachim. It means that there's no convenient way to eat it otherwise. But there are many ways to remove the bones in a mutter way, and best not to remove the bones while the fish is on your plate, because don't rely on that Ramban. But when it's Yefshar bin Yenacher, so that becomes Derech Achila. Chazanish disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah that you're not allowed to remove the pits from a fruit before eating. You should hold the pit in your hand, pull the fruit towards you, because only in that way is it considered Ochem Tov Solis. The Aruch HaShabbos explains that Chazanish held that since you could pull the fruit toward you or eat around the pit, we don't consider it as if there's no other way to eat the fruit, like the Shaar Tzion says. So it's all a matter of how you define, you know, efshar be'inyan achir. So again, so when it comes to removing pits from fruit, from peaches, plums, apples, avocados, so lechara, that's subject to machlokes mishmur and Chazanish. Mishmur says right before eating or right before the meal you're allowed to do it. Chazanish says no, you have to pull the fruit toward you. What about removing a stem from an apple or a tomato or a pepper or something? So the Aruch HaShabbos says that that's subject to the machlokes between Mishmur and Chazanish also. Mishmur will allow it right before eating, and Chazanish only if you're pulling the fruit away from the stem. And that's how Yalkut Yosef, that's what Rav Yitzchak Yosef paskins, that you're allowed to remove the stem before eating, but a machmir tava lav bracha. Why a machmir tava lav bracha? Because you might as well be machmir for the shita of the Chazanish. That's one way to view that whole stem apple situation, but there's another way to view it. In the El Meshulash, he says that even the Mishnah Berurah is only going to be matir when following the recommendation of the Chazanish, meaning when you pull the fruit, the apple, toward you away from the stem. Because the Mishnah Berurah relies on the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim allows removing the pits only because efshar ben yanacher, that there's no other convenient way to eat the fruit. So, since you can easily eat the apple with the stem on it, meaning the stem isn't really in your way, you're able to eat the apple with the stem still on the apple, so then you can be allowed to remove it you're only allowed to remove it like Chazanish, to pull the apple away from the stem. That's the second way of looking at it. The third way of looking at it is Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoting Shmir Shabbos. He says, no, not that the Mishmur is going to be mother to the Chazanish, they have to be Machmir, Adrabah. In this case, Chazanish is mimoda to the Mishnah Berurah, that you're allowed to remove the stem, because, who? What would be the reason? Probably some of you are thinking, why would you be allowed to remove the stem? It's not aroves. It's not mixed with anything. It's connected to the top of the apple, but it's not necessary with the apple. So the Maisa, everyone agrees that removing the fruit to you is mutter, and would circumvent any possibility of bover. But again, three possibilities when it comes to taking a stem off of an apple. That's such a minor thing. Three possibilities out of you. Either it's machlokes mishmur and the chazanish, right? And the mishmur is going to be mekel, the chazanish is going to be machmir. Or it's even the mishmur is going to be moda that you need to be machmir and pull the fruit off of the stem and not the stem off of the fruit. Or even the chazanish is going to be moda that you can be mekel because it's not a tarovus to begin with. Right? That's what it turns out. Yeah.
What does Rebbe think in terms of pits and stems? How we pass it?
How do we pass? I think the stem of Shlomo Zalman is a pretty compelling case. We'll get more back into the pits in a moment. Yeah, with the watermelons and things.
According to this knowledge of Derech Bishul, why would you need a Niyan Biya?
Of Derech?
I mean, of
Derech
Achila? Why do you need Derech? As long as you're fulfilling Derech.
No, because that's part of what defines Derech Achila.
So it's all incorporated in.
I mean, Derech Achil is when you have Miyad, Biyad, and Ochim Tov Pesachos. Otherwise, it's not really
Miyad
Derech.
Miyad is always Derech Achil?
Yes, because otherwise it's Derech preparation, it's not Derech Achil. Right, that's part of what, that's how we're Magdir Derech Achil.
According to the Chazon Ish, if you'd be like eating sunflower seeds, would it be like chewing the seed in like the shell, and removing that once it's like in your teeth, considered Derech Achil? Mm-hmm. Or because you're not like actually chewing it, like a watermelon seed?
Bechor, that's Derech Achil. I don't think that's wrong.
Also, in terms of the mitzios, like if it's like a big vine with other tomatoes on it, and you could pull off the tomato easily, but if it's just like an apple with a little, like teeny stem, like you have to take it off. Like you can't pull the apple away from the stem.
Sure you can.
That's not considered you, like.
No matter which hand you move, I guess. So funny.
According to the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Svara, then the sticker on the challah should also not be a tie.
Well, this protrudes above the apple. It's not even like
but
you,
the
can, you can hold
the,
it without touching the apple.
But the svara of the sticker on the challah was the davak. So davak too.
Yeah, it's entirely davak. I don't know. I hear that svara also, that it's not considered a tarovez. I hear that too, but I could also hear distinguishing between them. But there's one spot where it's connected, but you can pull it right off.
I don't understand the comparison of the Biralach. I mean, why is the case of the water considered in filtering in your mouth? It's
as you drink. It's right. The filter is right over your mouth, so it's as you drink.
It's not the same as putting the.
It's not the same as in your mouth, but it's also not in your hand. Meaning, it's not in advance. Why didn't you just say filter here and then drink it? The doctor spoke about putting the filter over your mouth, which is a weird way, a very strange way to drink something.
I'm going to ask. Let's see, you open up an orange or a banana. You get the peel off. You said it's double to the fruit. That's not. But sometimes there's like stringy, like leftover parts on it that you know, some people won't eat.
No, let's say the orange has the white parts.
Yeah,
that you want to pull
is that still considered the same meaning of being double to it? So if we removed, or is that like more part of the tarovas?
It's a question whether double It's a question whether davuk is more of a reason to assume it is a tarovas or more of a reason to assume it's not a tarovas. Folks can disagree about that. You know, that assumption that you're making, that it could be davuk is more of a reason to assume that it is a tarovas. That's what Ephraim was assuming. But it could be that davuk is more of a reason to assume it's not a tarovas, like you're saying. But let's say the white part of it is considered a tarovas. But that's luchar derech achila. But if you say that it needs to be in your mouth, like the Mishnah Berurah, so then there would be a problem, right?
No, because
then
people eat it.
So then it's a like.
People eat it with even like the thick white thing
thick
in the middle.
More like a stringy.
Like sometimes
no,
it's like a big, you know.
No, it's a string thing. You say something.
Yeah.
More like less intense than like the thick white shell, like the stringy thing. Like people just don't like. I guess.
Yeah. So you say that's davar echad. You could say any of the svaras that you have by an apple, you know. So you could.
You just like move the orange just with your right hand and then just leave it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so Bir Alacha writes when it comes to fish bones, Bir Alacha writes you should not remove the bones from the fish right before you're about to eat, even when the fish is on your plate, because you're removing the psalas from the ochel, right? So he gives three convenient alternatives. Number one, you can put the fish with the bones in your mouth and then spit out the bones, or take out the bone with your fingers, and that's mutakas as derech achila, based on Shulchan Aruch's design, that it's already in your mouth, that's for sure derech achila. Number two, you can remove the meat from the bone by pulling the meat toward you, and that's ochel mitoch psalas, so you can do that. Or number three, you can remove the entire skeleton of the fish and then suck the meat or the juices off of the bones. And that's what's because you're removing the food with some of the psalas, the taz, right? That you're removing some of the ochel together with the psalas, or you're treating the bone as ochel because you're going to be sucking on the bones. If you can't do any of those things, you still have what to rely on. Right, because it could still be called derech achila. You still have the Ramban to rely on that it's still called derech achila. Seeds from a watermelon. So what would you say? So Shmir Shabbos Paskins, take a bite out of the watermelon, spit out the seeds. If you can't do that, shake out the seeds right before eating the watermelon, because that's not derech breira. That might also be derech achila. He said if you remove them by hand before eating. Yesh only lismach again. And he quotes from Shem Zalman, Shmuel Shabbos quotes from Shem Zalman that there's more reason to be makel in the case of the watermelon than in the case of the fish. Because when eating fish, it's easy to hold the bone and pull the meat toward you. With a watermelon, what are you going to do? Hold the seed and pull the watermelon away from the seed? That you can't, like, that's... You ever try to hold the seed of a watermelon when it's not attached? Like it just slides right out. You can't hold the seed of a watermelon. So it's very impractical to hold the pit and pull the watermelon towards you. So since you're removing the pits right before eating, and there's no real practical way of removing the fruit from the psoles, so that's all considered derech achila. Rosh Hashanah Zalman explains that even though there are situations when you could theoretically remove the ochel from the psoles, but again, that's not normal, that's not convenient, that's not the normal way to do it. You know, like we had with killing a banana. Yeah, I can get the banana out of the peel without pulling the peel off, just by cutting it in half and squeezing out or whatever, or scooping out the inside of the banana, but that's crazy. Crazy people do that. That's not the way normal people eat. So since that's such an inconvenient and unusual way to do it, so the watermelon lechara is going to be the same. Ramesha, in the Borer tshuva, in the long tshuva to Rabbi Eider, in Borer Ozayin, he writes, "Bahachanas dag leketanin." What if you're preparing for a child? The child can't. You can't tell the child, "Oh, just spit out the pits or spit out the bones of the fish." Yesh lahatel pia prima gadim beish lavram simshin chafal v'gam yishmur pasakein. V'lchein kishe mechin leketanin hu ki'i efshar. That for a child it's efshar, but for an adult it's efshar to spit it out. It's possible that sometimes it is efshar even for an adult. You know, if I'm eating fish, if I'm eating salmon, let's say, and I notice a bone in the salmon. I don't know, maybe I'm just terrified. I saw too many TV shows with people choking. I will not eat the rest of the salmon. So, okay, someone didn't do a good enough job getting the bones out. I assume I will choke and die on the spot. So I'm not going to eat the rest of the salmon. So if it's efshar for an adult, because you feel like you're not going to be margish all of the bones, and you're not going to be able to... it also seems like more effort than it's worth. You know, thank God we have so much food available to us that, like, I have to work for my food. Like that video, who sent the video with the French press? Oh, so that person making that French press, they're grinding all the beans, they're putting water in two different, like that's crazy. that's way too much effort to make yourself a coffee. Like I would never do it. But Ramesh writes, if for whatever reason you think you're not going to be able to catch all the bones, so then you could also remove it. He passes like Rosh Hashanah Zalman that with fish bones and watermelon, best to put the whole thing in your mouth, then take the bones and pits out. But if that's not possible, like when you're serving kids or when you're worried that you're not going to catch all the bones in your own mouth, then you have what to rely on. Prima gadim mishabura, that right before the meal is mutter, when there's no other convenient way to take it out. So in summary, when we remove the bones from the fish or pits from the fruits, Ideally, remove the bones or pits after they enter your mouth. That's what Moshe recommends to do. If that is too difficult and there's no way to remove the fish or the fruit from the bones, or if you're preparing the food for children, so then you could remove it right before eating. The Shmir Shabbos writes that the custom of eating gefilte fish was based on borer, meaning that we came up with the idea of gefilte fish so that we won't have to deal with border issues in deboning a fish on Shabbos. And that's where the Jewish practice has come from, that we eat a boneless fish. What kind of fish is a boneless fish? There is no such fish as a boneless fish. They take this mixture of fish flesh or whatever, and they made gefilte fish. That's how the... I don't know, is anyone any historical... anyone know the historical accuracy of that account? Okay.
I don't
know that
doesn't
exist. Right. Yeah.
Maybe you might bring an example of derech achila from, like, let's say, by Pesach, derech achila to lean over. So, like, you could say that it's not just mamish in your mouth, it could happen it's in your mouth even. You could have derech achila, like, by the bones. It's derech achila for people to remove the bones while they're eating.
That's this question, right? How much does derech achila have to be while you're actually eating, or could it be while?
Bring, like, proofs in terms of other halakhic examples. examples, or it's just in
Hilchos Pesach for what?
Derech Hilchos, you have to lean to the left, so you see that that's like a Derech Hilchos.
Why is that Derech Hilchos, not Derech Hilchos? That just means that you're sitting in a comfortable way, but that's not about the Achilah per se. Now, okay, so let's backtrack a second. We had Taisus and we had the Ramban, right? We had a chiluk between Ochel Mitoch Psalos and Psalos Mitoch Ochel. What's the chiluk? So Taisus says there is no chiluk. It's all made up. There's no din called Ochel Mitoch Psalos. It's whatever's easier. Whatever's easier. And whatever is not the easier way to go about it is shalok ederach. It's an unusual thing to do, which is a klal that we have in all of halacha, that when you do something with the shinoi, it's not going to be as bad. It's not going to be as big of an issue. And then we have the Ramban, and said, no, it's not about shalok ederach, it's about derech achila. The Ramban, the Ran, all about derech achila, basic human condition to eat, and you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to eat, even if technically the way you eat seems like it is borer, but since it's called eating, that's not called borer. So the Ramban and the Ran seem to have been accepted lahalacha. Tulsa is not even quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So you have to work on understanding and elaborating on the sheet of the Ramban and the Ran, meaning how, and this is what we were discussing just a moment ago a little bit. How far does Derech Achila go? Meaning, how flexible is Derech Achila? How expandable is that category called Derech Achila? So there is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Man deshachik tuma, someone who crushes up garlic, had mafrich bereshe, when he pulls off the head of the garlic, chayim shum dash, had mafrich beklupaisa, when he takes them out of their shell, chayiv mishum borer. Essentially, you peel garlic, you chayiv mishum borer. So the Velt asks on the Yerushalmi, why chayiv mishum borer? Ish v'chayiv mishum dash, right? If anything, you're pulling out the food from inside the husk, from inside the shell. So they try to figure out why garlic is not exactly like dash. So Prima Gadim writes that the outside of the garlic is very tight, and therefore it's not dash. Okay. In Shvisa Shabbos, no. Dash is when you apply pressure and you cause something to be squeezed out. But peeling is not dash. Meaning dash is like I take a grape and I squeeze it and therefore the juices come out. That's going to be dash. But if I peel off the outer surface of something to expose that which is on the inside, that wouldn't be dash. Meaning there are two different actions. Right? If a person, if you're working on getting your fine motor skills, the occupational therapist would work with you differently on peeling than they would on squeezing, right? Squeezing, is power on the thing, and peeling is fine motor skills, good thing off. And Ramesha writes, no, it's just that peeling is done very close to the eating process. So that's what makes a borer and not dash. Whatever the reason is, it's apparently not a violation of dash to peel garlic. But Yerushalmi said that it is a violation of borer when you peel garlic. Problem is, the Gemara Maseches Beitzah says that you're allowed to peel barley. So why is peeling barley not borer, but peeling garlic is borer? So on the surface, it seems like Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, whether peeling something that has an inedible shell and getting and accessing the inside, whether that's called borer or not. Where the Bavli seems to say it's not called borer, and the Yerushalmi says it is called borer. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that you have to know how to read the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi never said that peeling garlic is borer. The case of the Yerushalmi was that all the garlic was peeled before Shabbos, so the peeling isn't the issue. You just threw the peels in, mixed in with all the garlic, and now you got to be borer out the peels from the garlic. Not that you're taking the peel off of the garlic, that the peels of the garlic are mixed in together with the garlic, and now you got to sort it out. So you have a bowl of garlic peels and garlic mixed together. That's borer. But the Bavli and Yerushalmi are in lockstep with each other. And they're just talking about different cases. Peeling isn't borer. There's no way to sort of peel things on Shabbos, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. It's not dash, and it's not borer. It's not dash for one of the three reasons I said before, whatever reason. It's not borer either when you peel garlic. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Bir Alacha asks the same kasha, and he says, no Rishonim discuss it Yerushalmi because it's against the Bavli. I mean, it's Machlok, it's Bavli Yerushalmi, it's possible it's Bavli. So it's, nothing to talk about. So yeah, Yerushalmi is quoted by some of the Rishonim, the Smag and the Smak, but you know, the Rishonim that we normally paskin like don't even quote that Yerushalmi, and therefore it's totally fine. So apparently, according to the Bir Allah, at least, you have Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi here. Are you allowed to peel garlic? Yeah? So this is back up just a second. The Aruch HaShulchan said there's no Machlokas. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan said peeling garlic, peeling barley, all of that is totally fine. It's not a violation of Borer whatsoever. That's not what the Yerushalmi sounds like it's saying. So the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't know how to read the Yerushalmi. It was just fascinating. Two days ago, someone sent me, I don't know why it's not public yet or whether it's ever going to be public, but Rabbi Efron Goldberg did a 1-hour interview with Rav Schechter about Derech HaPsak this past, when Rav Schechter was there for Thanksgiving weekend. So he sat with him for an hour and they filmed it, and he and Rav Schechter was like, you know, very free describing his assessment. So someone who had seen it said to me, wow, Shechter really doesn't like the Aruch HaShulchan. I was like, yeah. Sometimes he doesn't like the Mishmur, sometimes he's like, no, you gotta watch this. He really doesn't like the Aruch HaShulchan. So it's nuanced. He focused on what he doesn't like about the Aruch HaShulchan. He does like certain things about the Aruch HaShulchan, meaning he does like the fact that the Aruch HaShulchan starts with the Gemara, then goes to the Rishon, meaning he sets up the sugya very nicely. What he doesn't like about the Aruch HaShulchan is how he's machriya at the end. And he finds that the Aruch HaShulchan, when he's machriya at the end, is very often a boichsvar. I mean, it's whatever occurs to him as sounding correct, as opposed to being very well sourced. So the Rav Shachter said that he said this before, that he read Cheskel Abramsky's biography, maybe a biography of somebody, where it said that someone was there when the Aruch HaShulchan was writing the Sefer. Have you heard Rav Shachter say this? Anyone ever say it? He was there when he was writing the Sefer, and he saw that the... What?
Didn't he mention
it
in the Shir after Yom Kippur?
Oh, did he? Yeah, that's when he mentioned it. Yeah, that the Aruch HaShulchan was never consulting the Sfarim, and that's why the Aruch HaShulchan got things wrong. Oh, because Slasim Ruv Mechamasa. Yeah, because on the floor when it's Chamasim Ruv Slasim. Yeah, yeah. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes against the Gemara. So that's what he's saying. But one of the things he was saying was that the Mishnah Brura is so. Now, a lot of times I've heard Talmidim say, he doesn't like the Mishnah Brura. He said that you shouldn't learn Mishnah Brura. Him not liking the Mishnah Berurah for you is different than him not liking the Mishnah Berurah. Meaning, why does he tell young Shana Aleph boys in in yeshivas when they have the Q&A with him not to learn Mishnah Berurah? Because he thinks it's just too good. It's too complicated. It's too much. You need to know so much to really understand what. But he was saying in this interview that the Mishnah Berurah is mamish so glut. Everything is sourced. Everything is based on a full understanding of the sugya. Ad hasof, it's really, and he said, and he's amazed how the Mishnah Berurah had all these svarim. That the Maimor Mordechai was published not that much before him in a different side of the world, and somehow he managed to get a Maimor Mordechai. And he quotes Maimor Mordechai all the time. Like, just the that everything is so, so well sourced. And that's why, in general, as a final matter of psak, he'll be more nota to the Mishnah Berurah. Interesting. He also said that that mice, he said Shlomo Zalman read the whole Nefesh HaRav cover to cover. Ever heard him say that? Shlomo Zalman read the entire Nefesh HaRav. How does he know? Because Shlomo Zalman sent him a message to take something out. It's tam, good when you learn halacha to know this tradition. Shlomo the whole time was talking about how it's important to have traditions in halacha. But you can't just it can't all come from books. You have to learn from people who have traditions, who have a mesorah in halacha. He said Rabbi Lam told him once to take a sabbatical and go get Shemesh by Rav Vadya Yosef for a year. And he said he didn't want to, because his impression was that Rav Vadya didn't have traditions in halacha, that everything was from Sfarim. He said, I love the way he writes, but I want to learn from someone who has traditions in halacha. He said, if you make me the same offer to go to Rav Yashin, I'm there. I'll do it. But he wasn't interested in going to Rav Vadya for a year. He was very interested in people that have the Mesorah in halacha. So he said, one of the Mesorahs that he asked from Rav Soloveitchik was that Rav Soloveitchik never learned Taz. He learned Shulchan Aruch, Shach, and Bir Agra. Because there was a Shmuel in Velazhin, or a Mesorah in Velazhin, that the Taz didn't want to give Haskama to the Shach because he was older, and he saw that the Shach was better and that it would put him out of business or whatever, so they never learned Taz. So that piece, in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shlomo Zalman said to Rav Shechter, you should take out that Maisa, that's not nice. And it's going to make people stop learning Taz. So Shatzal, by the time he got the message, they were already in the fourth printing of Nefesh HaRav. He said there are tens of thousands of copies all over the world. It was too late. It was too late to take it out. He said, but he was right. Rav Soloveitchik Taka never learned Taz because of that Maisa. So I mean, I guess it really does discourage people from learning the Taz. Anyway, why did I get that? So Mishmura and the Yarcha Shulchan, right? Well, let's assume like the Mishmura over here, right? The Yarcha Shulchan says, nah, no machlokes bavli Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi doesn't think what we think it's saying. That's not the simple pshat of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi probably is saying what we think it's saying. But as Bir Halacha points out, it's machlokes bavli Yerushalmi. If you have machlokes bavli Yerushalmi, whether you're allowed to peel something, the answer is that you're allowed to peel something. But if it is a machlokes bavli Yerushalmi, what is the nekudas ha-machlokes? So the Bir Halacha writes, as we've seen already, that peeling garlic is not a tarotis. The peel and the garlic is not mixed with each other. Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, according to the Yerushalmi, you have to understand tarotis a little differently. And the tarotis doesn't just mean a chaotic mess on a plate somewhere. It means that by garlic, the psolus and the ochlam are chuber to each other, and that makes the tarotis, the fact that they're attached to each other. But once again, most Rishonim don't call it the Yerushalmi, but the Beis Yosef, the Smag, and most importantly for us, the Ramah does quote the Yerushalmi. So it's very easy to say, Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, don't pass on it badly, but you know, Beis Yosef, Smag, and Ramah. So those poskim who do quote the Yerushalmi must assume that there's no Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi's Kalacha, how are you going to answer the Stira? Right? How do you answer the secret between the Babli and the Shalmi? Babli says you're allowed to peel garlic. You're allowed to peel barley. Your Shalmi says you're not allowed to peel garlic. Unless you want to say the Biruach Hashulchan that no one understood the Yerushalmi. So Biruach says no. There's another element over here, which is lialtin. The case of the Babli was mutter because it's being done lialtin. The case of the Yerushalmi was in the case of the Babli is therefore not a violation of Bora. So any peeling that's done the altar is going to be mutter, right? So this we discussed already, right? But that's how the Bir Halacha comes to this. Why am I mentioning this right now? Because why would the altar make something mutter l'chachila? The fact that you're doing it the altar, why does that make it mutter l'chachila? There are three requirements to permit Bora. There's biyad, miyad, I get, and ochel mitoch psolus. An orange and banana cannot be done. So you'll never meet the three criteria. So the Bir Halacha, quoting the Maimur Mordechai, that you need to look at the three factors that allow you to do bor. When peeling, it's very clear that psolos mitoch ochel, and it should be usur, even if it's done the altar, technically when you follow the rules. But it's not usur because there's no other possible way to do it. And therefore, derech achila. It fits into the category of derech achila. It's yevshar b'la'avachi, and therefore it's mutter, because it's just like ochel mitoch psolus. The whole yisod of ochel mitoch psolus is derech achila. So this is derech achila when you're taking the psolus off of the ochel, because that's the only normal way to eat it. So that meaning, if you're going to say like the Ramban you're going to say like Tosos rather, that the yisod of ochel mitoch psolus is just what's a bigger tircha, lesser tircha, whatever. So then you don't have this whole discussion. But if you say like the Ramban, that it's about derech achila. So derech achila is not only going to help you for ochel mitoch psolas, but sometimes it will even help to be matir psolas mitoch ochel, ironically, right? To peel a banana, that's going to be called derech achila. So it's ironic. You would have thought that the Ran's understanding of ochel mitoch psolas, and the Ramban's understanding of derech achila, you know, is a very very narrow, limited kind of heter. Right, that derech achila is a borer inyan, and therefore it's very, very limited. Whereas you would imagine that when it comes to Tosfos, Tosfos saying no, this is a shalom kederech in general issue. This is a shinoi issue. That's broad. That applies everywhere. That's something that can apply to any malacha. It's ironic over here because Tosfos would say that the fact that the normal way to peel bananas psolos mitoch ochel makes no difference whatsoever. It's not a heter. Adrab would be reason to say that it's us. But Tosfos doesn't quote me. It's not quoted, so we quote the Ramban.
It could be wrong, but doesn't the Mishnah Berurah quote by Boser? Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah quote
the what?
By Boser?
Yeah.
Doesn't he quote Magen Avraham? He says that because it's Yevshar Binyan Acher, so there's no heter Miyah. So, first of all,
Yevshar Binyan Acher,
there's no heter of Miyah.
There's no heter of Miyah.
Yeah, I think there's a machlokas there in the Achronim about by oser, whether or not it's oser mishaborer, says everything around. So
yeah.
There's a machlokas in Yachronim of whether there's it falls under a regular category of borer, or therefore if you do the three heterim, so then it's completely mutter, or even if you do a miyad, so it's still going to be also. So I thought the Mishaburu there quotes that sheet of the Nogin Avram, who says that it's aser even if it's miyad, because it's eifshar b'minah. That's the lashon of the Mishaburu.
How does that make sense?
That's one question. I assume, and then another question is just on what the Bir Avach is saying here, which is the opposite of the right? Meaning here he's saying that Yev Shabim Yinah appears.
This is more reason to be Mekel.
Right. Here he says
it's much more Mestad, no? Meaning Yev Shabim Yinah means that it's Derech Achila. Meaning Alam doesn't make sense that would be called Derech Achila. Derech Achila is really the Heti.
Right, but
L'chola.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Meaning also just by ultimate talk of solace, he's saying that it's a cooler to say yeshu bin yach. So I'm not sure if that's different than Ma'al.
By ultimate talk of
solace. There's two questions. Three questions. One, what's Pshat Menshin?
Right.
Two, here he says there's a difference between miyad la'alter and not la'alter,
right,
even when it's yevshar b'yachir.
Right.
And the third question,
because that's what makes it derech achila.
Right. And the third question would be is why in one place is it being used as a kula and one place is being used as a kula.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Good questions. I don't know. So again, what did the Maimon Mordechai say? That the Bir Avach quotes is Maimon Mordechai. When you're peeling, it's a clear case of psalos mitoch ochel, but it's still going to be mutter because it's yevshar b'yachir, and that's the derech achila. So I guess this is, you know, what we get. Meaning, so if you assume that the Maimon Mordechai is correct, and you assume that the Yerushalmi is correct, that we hold like this Yerushalmi, so the difference between the case of peeling barley and peeling garlic is whether it's lialter or not, lemaisa. Right, that's what it turns out. That if it's miyad, then it's going to be mutter. If it's not miyad, it's going to be asur. So Magen Avram writes that asur leklof mishum borer, v'imkein af tapuchim asur leklof laniach. That even tapuchim, you're not allowed to peel an apple to leave it over for later. Meaning it also has to be miyad right away for the meal. So the Prima Gadim says, I understand. Sarachim. The klipas hatapuchim rov al mochlos and below at chak v'afilu laniach yesh lo medesharim. Says the apples aren't borer anyway because there's no psolas. So what's in the nekudas hamachlokas over there, right? Magen Avraham tells me you got to follow all the rules of borer when you peel an apple. So you could say yesh shabin yinach, so you're allowed to do it. But even then, you got to do it lialter. So you have to follow all the rules when you peel an apple. Says Prima Gadim, peel an apple. Everyone eats apple peels. So there's no psolas by an apple peel. So you don't have to follow the rules. So Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos Kilch says it's a difference in Metzius. It must be that by the Magen Avram they didn't eat apple peels, so it was psolas. And by the Prima Gadim they ate apple peels. So you always have to just look at the society within which you live and figure out what the what the accepted practice is in terms of what people eat. Rav Moshe writes be'etzem lo kashen. The kibudin wrote to lechol haklipim. Ella mashlichem kipsolas lekam malah b'mashurin la'achila. Even though also some kipsolas, Ramosh says what you would imagine that psolas is not defined objectively. Psolas is defined subjectively. So yes, people eat apple peels, but you know who doesn't? The guy that peels his apple and throws them away before eating it. He's not eating apple peels, so for him it's going to be psolas. So even if the peels are normally eaten, if a person doesn't want to eat them, they become psolas. So therefore, says Ramosha, if you're not doing it miyad, you're peeling it for much later on. So that's going to be an issur midoraisa. And that's what the Magen Avraham was saying. That if you peel an apple, even though the apple peel is edible, you have a problem. And you have a very similar thing when it comes to cucumber peels. Cucumber peels, just to summarize. When it comes to cucumber peel, there are a lot of reasons why peeling cucumbers might be, or a lot of shitos in terms of cucumber peels and whether it's mutter to peel a cucumber. Either it really is a situation of borer, so you need all the conditions except for ochel mitoch psolos, because ochel mitoch psolos is impossible. So you need miyad and biyad. Or it's not considered borer at all because the klipa is necheles, so it's not a tarovis b'chlal, because you can eat the klipa. Or it's not borer because it's mafred ochel me'ochel. There is no psolos. Meaning not that there's no psolos. There is psolos, but along with the psolos, you're getting some of the ochel. Meaning, have you ever in your life peeled an apple or a cucumber and not gotten a little bit of the actual cucumber off with the peel? You're always going to get, even if you're using a peeler, you'll always get some portion. And then you have the taz and subject to the machlokas. Chazanish mishabura. Or it could be that it's not borer, it's dash, and it would still need to be l'altar, but it doesn't need to be biyad, because by dash you need the altar, you just don't need biyad. But we'll get to that when we get to dash. Okay, so that is as far as ochel and psolos is concerned. Again, just to quickly summarize, essentially all we really did today was we tried to figure out what the understanding is, why ochel mitoch psolos is, why the Gemara assumes that ochel mitoch psolos is the derech borer on kuf lamed ches, and that it's not the derech borer on ayin dalet. And we had two basic approaches. We had Tosos and we had the Ramban. We said we don't paskal like Tosos, and the Ramban came up with this idea, as elaborated on by the Ran, called Derech Achila. So that was like a Pesach for us to jump on. That concept of Derech Achila, so we just had to work on the Geder exactly of what's called Derech Achila. Mamish, while it's already in my mouth, when it's about to be in my mouth, when it's on my plate in front of me, but something that's got to be Derech Achila. And we pointed out that might explain the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, to the extent that there is a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, that the Bavli would be saying that garlic and a peel is not a tarovas, but the fact that we quote, the fact that we quoted in the Ramah, that we quote that Yerushalmi in the Ramah, seems to suggest that it's not against the Bavli, and that's what the Bir Halacha says. That peeling garlic done the altar is derech achila, and that's why it's going to be mutter. But when it's not the altar, it's going to be not derech achila, and therefore it's going to be asir. Okay, we will stop there, and okay, on with more borer tomorrow.
Had a very fascinating
the Yerusha Kodesh, who said that anytime you peel, you're going to